What does math have to do with fish? A Princeton professor who just won the Tyler Prize for Environmental Achievement is a mathematician by training, but devotes his skills to understanding ecosystems. The Tyler Prize, by the way, is a big deal in environmental circles. So he told us about his work in his own words, and to get the conversation going, we did our usual drill. We asked him to state his name, his title, and what he had for lunch.
Simon Levin. I'm the George M. Moffitt Professor of biology at Princeton University, and I just finished off a serving of sushi. My research is about ecological systems, how they're structured, how they function, and particularly how we can protect them and the services they provide us. I went to graduate school in mathematics because it was a tool that I knew I could use, and it was the thing that came easiest to me and I did best. But even while I was in graduate school, I knew I wanted to apply mathematics to addressing problems of the world, and in particular, biological problems. And so I began working on physiological problems, but within a few years had turned most of my attention to ecological problems. Mathematics is the way we make predictions and the way we are able to develop strategies for managing systems effectively. The ecosystems are highly interconnected networks. And so, for example, some of my work has been studying the marine ecosystems on the West Coast, where it's been known that the removal of top predators in the system can have cascading effects throughout the system. These are called keystone species or keystone predators. The most striking example is reflected in James Estes's work, where the removal of the sea otter caused cascading changes throughout the system. So in the absence of the sea otter, as you probably know, was hunted out over most of the west coast of the United States, and only recently, since it was protected, has begun to come back. When the removal of the sea otter allowed the abalone populations to increase, allowed the urchin populations to increase. The urchin populations feed on kelp, and so as they built up, the kelp populations were driven down. When the kelp populations were driven down, the nutrients near shore went down, and the shore became less buffered. That was bad for fish populations, but good for the shellfish that the sea otters were no longer eating. And so the system shifted from a fin fishery to a shell fishery with dramatic economic consequences for the system. I was involved early on with trying to understand the effect of power plants on the Hudson River and commented on and built models to deal with the striped bass populations. That work eventually contributed to the agreements in getting a resolution to issues that were associated with the building of power plants on the Hudson, and most recently, together with a postdoctoral fellow, Guy Ziv, a study looking at the consequences of new dams in the Mekong Delta and what their effects would be on migratory fish populations. But I regard my greatest contributions to be not in these individual case studies, which I think help to illustrate the power of quantitative methods, but rather a changing attitude in fisheries towards managing systems as large marine ecosystems, taking account the interactions among species and the effects on the biogeochemistry of the oceans. And so a lot of our work now is directed towards trying to model the dynamics of marine ecosystems. In the last 20 years, increasingly, I have turned my attention to the interface between ecology and related environmental sciences on the one hand and economics, because I'm convinced that one can't solve the environmental problems just doing biology, just doing physics and chemistry. One has to understand these systems as coupled with the human systems that create stresses, that withdraw resources, that add pollutants to the system, that change the climate. So I've been concerned with understanding human behavior, understanding the linkage between ecological and economic systems, how to get across to managers and to people more broadly the value of natural systems, and ultimately to understand how we can get cooperation. There are many examples of cooperation in nature. There are also examples of how, for example, small fisheries have engaged in cooperative agreements that help to manage it. Our greatest challenge now is to extend those cooperative arrangements to much broader scales to deal with global problems like climate change, like biodiversity loss. Much of my work research now is directed towards trying to structure and understand agreements on these pressing environmental problems.
Simon Levin is professor of biology at Princeton University. His work just won the Tyler Prize for Environmental Achievement.